I want to talk to you this morning about the God of a second chance. And in these verses right here, I want you to see what is taking place here. And, you know, you wonder to yourself, why did God allow this famine to come into Abram's life as soon as he moved into the promised land? And you'll find that, I heard this one time before, a faith that can't be tested can't be trusted. And I kind of feel that way. He's right about that. And not necessarily that somebody else is a judge of my faith, but I myself want to know, you know, do I have enough faith? You ever wonder to yourself if you have enough faith about those things? Years ago, I was in the United States Navy, and we were in Naples, Italy, and our ship had pulled in there, and we were going to be in there for a little while. So they allowed us to take a trip and go up to Rome. And while I was at Rome, of course, it was a tour. The whole thing was a tour. You rode a big bus, you know, like one of the Gold Line buses that they have around here now. But it was something like that. And we went to Rome, and we stayed overnight. It was a hotel, and all that was included in the trip. Food and the whole nine yards. But anyway, one place we went was the Colosseum. And I remember going and standing in the doorway of that Colosseum and the arches there as you go in, because the floor is all rotted out. It's all gone. When I say the floor, if you look inside, you'll see that it's walls, a whole bunch of walls, that narrow walls that are standing up, and there's no top to it or anything. The seats are all still all the way around and all that. And what it was this. They had the bottom was honeycombed with all these, and they would let the lions loose through there, or the tigers, bears, or whatever, the animals. And then they also had gladiators and stuff that came up through there and that type of thing. But there was boards all on top, and then dirt put on top of that. So anyway, over the years, I guess it rotted out, and that's gone. But nevertheless, I was able to stand there and walk in, and the crowd kind of moved on, you know, because the guy leading the sightseeing, you know, he was talking to him, and he was saying, come outside and look at the statues and this, that, and the other thing, you know, that he was showing them. But I don't know, for some reason they didn't interest me. And what did interest me, and I wasn't a born-again Christian, by the way, I'll say this, I was Catholic at the time, and but I stood inside there, and I was all alone just for a few moments, and I looked at that, and I thought to myself, I wonder if I have enough faith to be able to endure what they endured. You know, you ever wonder to yourself about that? You hear about some missionary, or you hear about people in a foreign land that got arrested or something, and their Bible taken away, and them thrown in jail, and all that kind of stuff. And you wonder to yourself, could I endure those things that they endure for my faith? And so it's good that God tests our faith. I see, and Job said this. He says, but he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. You know, gold has to be go through the fire, and it has to be melted. And when it's melted and all that, then the dross is taken off of it, and it becomes pure gold then. And this is what he's talking about here. And Peter turns around and says about the same thing. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7, he says this, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried as with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So we find that this is what God's talking about here. And there's a purpose that he has in allowing trials or tests to come into our life. And it's only to verify our faith. You see, not to him, because he already knows our heart and he knows our faith and all the rest. But also to purify and to remove the dross. I think that's one thing that needs to be and all that. You know, after all this, in chapter 18, I'll just read this to you, verse 19, God says this about Abraham. He says, "For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him." So, you know, God's trying him. And here we see some things here. And the reason for the trial is because of the fact that there was great blessings here. Now, let me just share this with you real quick as we look at this. Number one, we see Abraham's call. And I want you to pay attention to this because later on we'll go ahead and mention something about it. But in verses 1 through 3, it says this. "Now the Lord has spoken unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee." Now look at the promises that he makes to him. "I will make thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great." And look what it says. "And thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee," notice this, "shall all the families of the earth be blessed." So God's saying to Abraham, look, I'm going to bless you, but through you I'm going to bless the rest of the world. Amen? And of course we know that what he's talking about is from the loins of Abraham came the Hebrew nation, and the Hebrew nation brought forth our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. What I'm trying to say is this. So we see that if God came to you and said, look, I'm going to give you all these blessings, all these great things are going to happen to you and everything, wouldn't you be willing to do something that he wanted you to do? Well, the Bible says here in verse 4 and on through to 9, it says, "So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarah his wife, Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all the substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Cana, and unto the land of Cana they came." Now listen, Cana is a very wicked land. It's a land where they slew their enemies, but they did it in a very horrible way, and all the rest. And I'll not get into all that. But what I'm saying is, these people were not Christians. These people were not believers in the God of Abraham. They were folks that had their gods, and their gods demanded them to make offerings to them and all that. So it would be very easy for them to go into this land of Cana, and these wretched people, if you want to use that term, would slay the whole bunch of them. And they knew that. But Abram passed through the land unto the place of Shechem, unto the plain of Moriah, and the Canaanite was there in the land. So the Canaanite was there. But look what the Bible says. "And the Lord appeared unto Abram." Now I bet that was a real encouragement to him, because God had told him to go to this land. God had directed him. God had told him he would give him all these blessings if he would do what he told him to do. So Abram was encouraged here, because the Lord appeared unto him and said, "Unto thy seed I will give this land." And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. You notice that Abram at this point in time, his name's Abram, means his father, and Abraham is father of nations, so he'll get that name later on, everything from God. But the point I'm trying to say here is this, that he built an altar unto the Lord. Now, he didn't care. He didn't care too much about whether or not the Canaanites were watching. The Bible says the Canaanite was in the land. They were there. They might have been watching. They might have been seeing what was going on. What's this group of people that just came into our land? What are they going to do? And then they find that he's building an altar. I can imagine Abraham over there stacking up some stones and everything else and building an altar unto the Lord and offering sacrifice there unto the Lord. The Bible says that he removed from thence unto a mountain in the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east, and there he builded an altar unto the Lord, and called upon the name of the Lord. You see, well, once again, he builds an altar. Everywhere he goes, he's building an altar. I think this is great. Amen. And Abraham journeyed, going still toward the south. Well, so we see Abraham's call, how God had called him out. And then we see at Abraham's response there. You know, most of us have been called out by God. I guess everybody here would say that they're probably born again. If you're not born again, you ought to do that today. Amen. Get that thing settled before you ever leave this church. And if everybody says, yes, I'm born again, I've trusted Christ as my Savior, I'm trusted in the blood of Christ and that alone, to wash away all my sins as atonement and everything else, well, then you're born again. And if you're born again, then you're called of God. Now, what does it mean to be called of God? You notice what God did. He called them out. He called them out from their family, called them out from where they were, and separated them from everybody that was back. And he said, the Lord said now unto Abram, get thee out from thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house. Now listen, we might not have left America. That's not what God's talking about. Amen. But we need to turn our back on the world. We need to turn our back on the things that the world has for us and all that. Our faith ought to be in God from this point on. And this is what we have with Abraham. He put his faith in God, and he went ahead and left and came to a land that he didn't know anything about, with people there that he didn't know anything about. But he went ahead and led his family and everything else, all his possessions and everything else, into this land because he was trusting God, you see. And that's what we need to do. And all the way through, you'll find that even God appeared unto him when he got there to the land. So we need to make sure that we're where God wants us to be. And when we're in the will of God and where he wants us to be, he'll appear unto us. Amen. Now, we might not see him physically in a form, but we know that God is present. We know that God is in that. This church right here, we left where we were, we came to this place, and God blessed us, and God has established this work, and so on and so forth. We know God's in this work because he's blessed it the way he has and all the rest. And he'll continue blessing that, and he'll guide this church onto where he wants it to be planted. And I like that. I like that when God plants us. Amen. And because I want to be a tree of life. And if I'm going to be a tree of life, I got to have roots. Amen. And to be able to go from and to be able to reach out with arms of long branches and everything, trying to reach the lost and be fruitful and multiply and all that kind of stuff. But anyway, we see here that he builds altars unto God. So he's walking with God. He's fellowshipping with God. He's doing everything that God wants him to do. Well, but something happens here. The circumstances change. Now, folks, just because the circumstances change in your life, it doesn't mean that you need to jump up and run off someplace or do something. Amen? And no, here's what happened here with Abram. Instead of trusting God, he went on down. Now, I call this Abraham's fails his trial. Yeah, he fails in this trial, and I want you to see some things. And there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there. Now, there's an awful lot in that verse right there. The Bible says that there was a famine in the land. Now, you wonder to yourself, why would God allow a famine to come into the land that he just brought Abraham into? He knew he had flocks. He knew he had herds that needed grass to, grassy fields and stuff to eat and all that. And if there's a famine there in the land, nothing's growing. Amen? Boy, I'll tell you right now, a few years ago, we had, I think it was 70-some days. I forget exactly how many it was. But it was 70-some days. We didn't have any rain at all. Now, I don't know about you all, but that caused me a lot of problems. I had cattle on my place, And I had an electric fence running all around. I guess it was maybe, I don't know, maybe a couple of miles of electric fence. But anyway, to make a long story short, all of a sudden my cows were starting to get out. And the reason why was because they weren't getting shocked. You see, the ground was dry. I mean, it was so dry, it didn't ground them out, you see. And consequently, when they got up against the fence, it didn't shock them. It just, they just walked right on through it, you know. And of course, it wasn't nothing but a wire, you know, just a little piece of wire. But you put electricity in that, and I tell you right now, it lights you up. It really does. I don't know how many volts come through that thing, but it's only on there for a couple of seconds. Thank the Lord for that. Amen. Because I got caught up in them things a couple of times. I remember one time my wife and I were out in the field, and man, all of a sudden it got real dark and the wind started coming up. And I told my wife, I said, you know, we're going to have a terrible storm here in a minute. We better get out in the field. And she said, okay. And so we started heading for the to get out of the field. And the way that I would drive the truck out of the field was I would go to one of the posts, and I had a plastic insulator, and I would unloosen the plastic insulator, slide it down, and and then go over to the other post and slide it down. And then, you know, the electric fence would be down on the ground, and she'd drive the truck over top of it, and then I'd raise it back up and close it off for the cows. Well, I think I was bringing it back up or something, but anyway, I don't know exactly what we were doing. Somehow or other, she came in, she left the thing at an angle. So I pulled this one back up, and when I went around to do the front one, she was right, you know, the truck was right there beside it. And anyway, she had the bumper into the post, and I couldn't raise it up. So I told her, I said, bring the truck forward a little bit. And when she brought the truck forward, the mirror, I didn't realize it, the mirror hit me and it knocked me down. And when it knocked me down, my leg went across that fence, and then I rolled, and the thing was wrapped around me. And I'm laying on the ground, and by that time it started pouring down rain. Well, I'm laying on the ground there with this electric wire across me, and she's sitting in the truck, and I'm trying to say something to her, trying to get up, and every time I did, you know, it was giving me one of them things, you know. It was unbelievable. I don't even know how I got on that story, but anyway, somehow or other I got out of that mess. That was terrible. And now what I was going to say is this. There was a famine in the land. And the other thing I wanted to tell you was that not only was the grass all drying up on me, but my pond was drying up, so I didn't have water for the cows. And I had to fill up a big old horse trough like that and have water there for the cows and everything. But it only went on for about 70-some days. Then we started getting some rain and things were okay. I can imagine what it would be like if one of these long famines took place. But at any rate, Abraham came there, and the Bible says that there was a famine in the land. Now, it says here in verse 10, and Abram went down into Egypt. Now, geographically, you're right, it is south. And Egypt is south of the promised land. But not only that, the term down is referring to what happens when we turn to the world. You see, Egypt was a type of the world. Every religion was there in Egypt. Every philosophy was in Egypt. Egypt was the civilization that you would look at right now, and you would think to yourself, you know, that has all the riches, has all the glory, has all, I mean, you know, the pyramids, and it has all the Egyptians and the all the things that go along with that and everything, you know. But that's the way the world is. Has a lot of glitter, but it's really, it doesn't have anything for you. Amen? And not what you really need. And here we see that Abram is trusting in the world. And he's not trusting in God anymore. You don't see where he's prayed to God, where he built an altar and he said, Lord, you know, we're having a problem down here. There's a famine here or whatever. I want you to relieve us of the famine and so on, or whatever the case may be, you see. And folks, let me tell you something. This is what we need to do. We need to turn to God. Amen. Too many people that are having problems and things like that, instead of turning to the Word of God and saying, well, we're having some problems with our marriage and everything, they go to find some marriage counselor someplace or some psychiatrist or something like that that's going to try and tell them some things. But they're going to be the worldly way of looking at things and the way the world settles things. People that are on drugs and things like that. I was amazed one time. I went over there to visit somebody at one of those... I forget the name of it. Had two names, Walton something. If anybody familiar with that, Walton something clinic, and what it was a drug rehab place. There's one right there in Charlotte Hall, but they told me and said, well, if you want to come in and see anybody or talk to anybody while they're here, you can only do that on a certain time. And you also have to go to our class. What was it on Sunday night? Wasn't it? Or when was that? Oh, Wednesday night. It was on Wednesday night. So in order for me to get in to talk to this fella, I had to ask Keith to take the Wednesday night service for us to go over there. My wife and I went over there to that thing, and this woman turned on a little television. And said, okay, I want everybody to watch this. And so we watched this program that they had. And nowhere in that program did it tell us what we can talk about. It only told us what we could not say. You know, don't say this, don't say that, you'll upset the person, blah, 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 and all this kind of stuff and everything, you know. And it was amazing. But it had absolutely nothing about trying to help that person. So anyway, we went ahead Thursday night. We went in there and visited and talked to the fella. And when we did, come to find out, he said, this thing it's not helping me at all. I said, no, I don't think it will. I said, let me ask you a question. Are you born again? Are you saved? And he said, no, I'm not. And I said, well, can I show you from the Word of God? And I showed him from the Bible how to get saved. And I led him to Christ. I mean, you know, it made a change in the man's life. It really did. But the change was made by God. You see what I'm saying? It wasn't about the government. It wasn't about a government program. All these things Keith mentioned about welfare. The thing about it is, with welfare, there's too many people are getting on it and nobody's getting off it. You see, because the government doesn't have a program to get them off of it. And folks, that's what we need. You know, there's nothing wrong with giving a helping hand to somebody. You know, there's times when people lose their job. There's times when people, have problems and things like that. Maybe there's a problem in the home or something, and it's just really got the person down. They're not working. They're not doing what they're supposed to be doing. But, you know, the thing about it is, what I'm trying to say is this. Yeah, help them get back on their feet. But, you know, train them and teach them something. Get them a job someplace. Keep them working. Amen. And, you know, that's what they ought to be doing. And now there are people that are physically unable to do some things. That's fine. You can't tell me that in the government you can't find some kind of job someplace that they could do. Amen. And all the rest. But that's neither here nor there. What I'm trying to say is this. Don't turn to the world. Don't turn to the world for things. Abraham here turns to the world. The Bible says, and there was famine in the land that Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there. For the famine was grievous in the land. Now, let me just show you some things here. When you turn to the world, there's some things that happens. First off, is Abram moved from trusting in God to scheming. Look what it says here in verse 11 and 12. It says, it came to pass when he was come near to enter into Egypt, Then he said unto Sarai, his wife, Behold, now I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. Therefore it shall come to pass, when the Egyptians shall see thee, that they shall say, This is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will save thee alive. Look what he says in 13. Say, I pray thee, that thou art my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee. He had made a plan. You see, he didn't trust God in this thing. He just went ahead and made a plan. And this is what he was going to do. He was scheming. Folks, let me tell you something. If you have to do some scheming in your life, then you know you're out of the will of God. I can tell you that right now. You might as well get that thing settled in your heart. Just check yourself out. If you're starting to make little schemes up in your head about how you're going to do this and how you're going to do that and everything else, then you're not trusting God. Amen? And we need to do that. Second thing is, Abram moved from confidence to fear. Look here what it says. And it came to pass, verse 14, that when Abram was come into Egypt, the Egyptians beheld the woman as she was very fair. And the princes of Pharaoh saw her and commanded her before Pharaoh, and the woman was taken unto Pharaoh's house. Now, the Bible tells us here that he had, as he started, notice back in 11, and it came to pass when he was come near to enter into Egypt, that he said to Sarai, his wife, Behold now, see, fear started coming into his life. Why? He was walking away from the fellowship of God. He was walking away from the will of God. He was walking away from the place that God had planted him. God had sent him to be here and to be in this land and everything else. This was the land that God had promised unto him. But yet he was leaving this place. He was forsaking it. And he forsook his God. Why? For Egypt. He felt that he was safer with Egypt. So he turned around and went down in Egypt. As he got close to the place, fear started coming upon him. Folks, let me tell you something. You might think to yourself that you're in a very civilized area. And you might think to yourself that you can trust in your neighbors and you can trust in everything that's going on and everything else. But let me tell you something. You'd be surprised at what goes on the streets of these cities. And in these streets of these cities, these people are getting mugged, people are getting beaten up, people are getting women are getting raped and everything else. And people will turn their back and walk away. I didn't hear anything. I didn't see anything. It's amazing. You know, you all heard that story about up in Central Park where there was a turtle had gotten mugged by a bunch of snails. I don't know whether you ever heard that or not. But when the officer came and they were trying to talk to the turtle and say, well, what did they look like? What happened? He said, I don't know. It all happened so fast. You know, think about that just for a minute. A turtle and snails. Amen. I don't know. It happened so fast. That's the first thing people say. You ever watch any of these, like Blue Bloods or something like that? And they arrest somebody or they come out there on the scene. So what happened? I don't know. It happened so fast. But anyway, we see here that there was, he lost his confidence and it was fear in his heart because of this. I want to show you something else, too. He stopped thinking of others and started thinking of himself. You know, when you start focusing on nothing but yourself, you're in a bunch of trouble, folks. You better back up and get alone with your God because your vision is wrong. Amen? When your vision is on nothing but yourself, the Bible tells us here that he's looking at nothing but... He's not concerned about his wife. Therefore, he says to his wife, he said unto Sarah, Behold, now I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. Therefore, if it shall come to pass, when the Egyptians shall see thee, that they shall say, This is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will save thee alive. You see, he was worried about his own life. He started concerning about himself instead of others. And folks, let me tell you something. There's a lot of Christians sitting in churches all the time. And they get all upset because the pastor went 5 minutes over or 10 minutes over or something like that with the sermon. All the way home, they want to gripe and complain and everything else. Well, the truth of the matter is, wait a minute, how much have you gone out and tried to win a soul? Right. How much have you tried to do for God? You know, you're not thinking about others. You're thinking about yourself. What about those that God's trying to speak to their heart and God's trying to reach them for some reason? We ought to be patient with people. Amen. And so on and so forth. Somebody has to get baptized. Oh, I hope nobody comes forward this morning. I wanted to get home before the ball game and all that. Hey, fooey on the ball game, amen. You know, let's baptize people. Let's do what we're supposed to be doing and all the rest. Let's do what's right. They stop thinking of others and start thinking of themselves. I want to show you something else too. Abraham moved from being a blessing to bringing judgment. Look what happened here in verse 17. And the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. It's unbelievable, isn't it? But look here at verses 18 through 20. You'll see that Abraham lost his testimony. Now, he would have had a good testimony if he had gone, Pharaoh had to come up and said, you know, why is everything going so well for you? Or something of that nature, amen? I know you're having a plague here, a famine in the land, but why are you staying here? Well, I'm staying here because my God planted me here. I'm staying here because my God's providing for me while during this famine and everything else. You see, he couldn't do that. Why? Look what happened here. In verse 18 it says, And Pharaoh called Abram and said, What is this that thou hast done unto me? Why didst thou not tell me that she was thy wife? Why sayest thou she is my sister, so I might have taken her to me to wife? Now therefore, behold thy wife, take her, and go thy way. And look what he did. And Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away and his wife and all that he had. Folks, let me tell you something. If he was being thrown out of that country for testifying for God, you know, like, I'm going to go down here to Egypt and try to win Pharaoh to Christ. And he goes down there and they threw him out of Egypt because he was bringing another religion there or something. You know, that's one thing. But that's not what the case is. They threw him out because he was a liar. That's what it was. Now, no Christian ought to be that way. Amen? No Christian ought to find themselves in a situation like that. Well, he lost his testimony. Let me tell you something, folks. You start lying to people. You start lying to family, lying to relatives, lying to people on the job and things like that. They'll find it out. And when they do find it out, they're going to come and say, What is this that thou hast done unto me? You see? And they're going to say, I don't have any more time for you. I don't want to hear anything you got to say. And you can try to witness all you want. You can try to, nobody listens to me. Well, wait a minute. How's your testimony? How's your testimony on the job? How's your testimony at home? Fathers, your children aren't listening to you. Why aren't they listening to you? Amen? Is it because you're not living the life that you're supposed to be living? Mother, is that the case? You know, whatever the situation is, have you lost your testimony before people? Well, I told you that we have a God of a second chance. And I mean that too, because God's good. Look what it says here in chapter 13 of verse 1. And Abram went up out of Egypt. He went up and he came out of the world. he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle and silver and gold. And he went on his journey from the south, even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. You know what he did? He went to the altar. He went back to Bethel. Bethel means house of God. He went to the house of God. He went back to that altar there, and he got things right with God. Now you say, well, everything's okay. Everything's fine and dandy. Well, let me just share some things with you. You know, he might have come out of there with a whole lot of substance, because the Bible says here in verse 16 about Pharaoh, and he entreated Abram well for her sake, and he had sheep and oxen, and he asses, and men servants and maid servants, and she asses and camels. So there was all kinds of herds given to him. Along with that, there was people that were given to him to serve him and all that. He had riches in gold, Bible says in 13:2, and Abram was very rich in cattle and in silver and in gold. Yes, he was very rich in all these things, but let me tell you something. You can't go down and play with the world without affecting your family, without coming out of there without problems. Amen? You see, he got his silver and gold, but his wife also got a handmaid. And that handmaid became a problem to them later on. And by the way, that handmaid became a problem to us today. Because I don't know whether you realize it or not, but the descendants of Ishmael are the ones that we're having so much problem with nowadays. But not only that, but Lot, who went down, his nephew that went down with him, when he came back out, the Bible says here. Now look, all these riches caused a problem in their life. Look at verse 5 in chapter 13. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents, and the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's cattle and the herdsmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelt there in the land. And Abram said to Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, between my herdsmen and thy herdsmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right hand. And if thou wilt depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. You know, it's a terrible thing. But, you know, these riches that they have actually came between them. It separated them. You know, I've heard, now I don't know whether there's any truth to this or not, but I heard that most of the people that won the lottery and got all these millions of dollars, they're separated from their families. Their husbands and wives have gotten divorces and things like that and all the rest, all the way down through. The families have been torn to pieces. Why? Because of riches. Folks, let me tell you something. You can have your riches. I don't need them. I got God. Amen? I got a Heavenly Father I can pray to. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. What do I care about whether or not I have this or have that? I've always found that whenever I needed something, God has always provided it. Amen? He's always given you what you needed. Let me show you something else if I can. Look at verse 10 in that chapter 13. Now remember, Lot had gone down into Egypt. Every year they come out with new cars, new trucks, and things like that. Don't be so foolish to go into a dealership and say, I just want to test drive one of them. You know what I mean? You'll find yourself buying a new vehicle every year. You know what I mean? Be happy. Be satisfied. If that thing that you're driving will get you to and get you fro, then that's all you need. Amen? Look what it says here, verse 10. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt. And thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves one from the other. Now, look, he looked towards that plain, and he said, you know something? That's well-watered, just like Egypt. Egypt is prospering. I want to prosper like that. And so, in fact, he was out of line because he should have given the elder the first choice. Amen? He should have given Abraham the first choice, but he didn't. And then you'll find that he went down there and he put his tent. And the Bible says he pitched his tent towards Sodom and Gomorrah. So he was trusting in the city, trusting in the king of Sodom and Gomorrah, rather than in... and then later on, you'll find that he actually ended up moving into the city. He ended up losing his family. He lost his wife on the way out. She had to look back. He lost some of his daughters and his son-in-laws because they stayed in the city. He only had the two daughters, and they came out with him. And they ended up making stupid decisions, getting him drunk, and having children by him. And that's where the children of Ammon and the other one, I forgot what the other one was, but Moab, that's where they came from. It's from illegitimate children by Lot and his daughters. Folks, let me tell you something. All this stuff about Egypt, all this stuff about getting rich, all this stuff about looking good and the world prospering and getting moving up the ladder and all this other kind of stuff. Let me tell you something. You just leave that in God's hands. Amen? And let God go ahead and promote you. Let God go ahead and take care of you. But the Bible does say that Abraham repented. He came out of Egypt. He went on back to Bethel. He went on back to where God led him. And there he called upon the name of the Lord. Now, folks, let me tell you something. That's what we need to do. If you ever find yourself in a situation where you've gotten out of the will of God, gotten out of the place of blessings, gotten away from turning your back on God and looking towards the world to supply your needs and all the rest. Let me tell you something. You need to turn back. Turn back to God. Amen. And let God work in your heart and in your life and in your family. Amen. Father in heaven, again, I thank you for each one that's here this morning. And I pray that somehow or other they got a truth out of that, that they will be a blessing to them and a help to them. And I pray, dear Lord, as we look at your holy word, that that your Holy Spirit can speak to our hearts. And whatever the need might be this morning, I pray that you'll help us to follow through and do that which is right and get our hearts right with you. And dear Lord, may we focus on others and not on ourselves. And we'll give you all the praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen.